If you have your Bible with you, if you would like to turn to Psalm 142. Quite embarrassingly, this morning I forgot my Bible. So I've had to borrow Giles' Bible this morning, and I shall return to it very briefly. Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Father, we just ask that you just reveal to us what you want to from this word this morning. We just pray that as we study this psalm together, that we will just grow to understand the things of your word even more. Amen. This morning I just want to talk to us about where do we go when we are desperate? Where do we go when we feel under so much pressure, when we feel so desperate that we need help? Who do we complain to when things aren't going right? And as I was preparing for this talk this morning, I stumbled across this story, and I'm going to read it to you just to hopefully help illustrate the point a little bit. A monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. After the first 10 years, his superior called him in and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" The monk replied, "Food bad." After another 10 years, the monk again had the opportunity to voice his thoughts. He said, "Bed hard." Another 10 years went by, and again he was called in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." His superior said, "It doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." And there are some times in my house where I wish my children, maybe even Ruth, she's not here, she won't listen to me, we would take a vow of silence. Maybe not for 10 years, but 10 days would be good. But unlike the monk, we do have somebody that we can talk to, that we can pour out our hearts to. And so I want us to, we're going to work through this psalm a couple of verses at a time, and I'm hoping that we will see how we can do that. Just to give you a little bit of background, this psalm was written against the background of David, who was being chased by Saul. David, the same David that had defeated Goliath on the battlefield and who had been anointed to become a king of Israel in the future, had been serving Saul, the current king, for a number of years. But Saul had grown more and more jealous of David. And then the relationship had completely broken down, and David, fearing for his life, had fled and was being pursued by Saul. And if Saul had caught him, I think Saul's plan was going to be to kill him. Because he knew that David was chosen to be king. Before we get into the bulk of the text, there's this word that appears under the title. If you've got a Bible, you may be able to see it. But if not, it's hopefully going to come up on the screen. And it's this word, I'm just going to bring it up so I can read it right, hopefully. A maskil of David, when he was in the cave at prayer. And it's that word maskil that I want us to just look at, because it's Quite often under the Psalms, they have some little instructions, which are usually a musical like guide to somebody who's going to be playing. Because Psalms were meant to be songs and poetry and sometimes just instruction. And they had these little guides to people who may be playing music. Now, I could ask Steve if he knows what a masculine is. No, neither did I, don't worry. It's okay. But when I looked this word up, I thought, wow, this is an interesting word. It actually may not be a musical instruction. When I was researching this, it actually has another meaning. It means some type of instruction. So this little subtext, it's not even in the verses of the Bible, but it's put in the Bible as an instruction, is telling us that this psalm is an instruction to us. It teaches us, in this case, how to pray this type of prayer. And that interested me, because I was like, wow, why go to that, all that detail? Can we not learn that from what we're going to read? But there it is, just in the kind of sub little guidelines. You know, those little helpful hints that you get sometimes in things. This masculine of David, an instruction of David. And so if we look at verses 1 and 2, here we see David just crying out to the Lord. He isn't hiding his complaint. We'll see if we can bring up the slide way for us with the first two verses on. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. How many of us, before we go to the Lord with our troubles and with our concerns, maybe go to our friend on earth? Maybe we go to we've got somebody that we can phone a friend kind of thing. We ring somebody up and say, you won't believe what's happened. I'm struggling in this area. You know, we've all got those friends as well that when we ring up and say that to them, they immediately turn the problem around into something that's happening to them. They kind of, you can almost, if you were standing face to face with them, they'd be nodding along. Yes, yes, yes. But you won't believe what's happened to me is the next thing they say. So perhaps sometimes, before we go to God, for some reason, we go to earthly friends. People sometimes come to me, which is absolutely fine. I don't go, you won't believe what's happening to me. I'm a little bit more compassionate than that. And we share our problems with people that we know. For some of us, we don't do that. For some of us, we substitute God and we substitute our friends and we go after a thing, food or drink or even drugs. Some of us, maybe rather than dealing with our problems, try and substitute and try and make ourselves feel better by replacing that with something else, something that just brings us comfort for that very short moment in time. But here we're shown in these first two verses that David, who is being pursued by Saul and who is facing almost certain death, doesn't do that. He cries out to God. He doesn't start off by saying how great God is. He goes straight into it. He pours out his complaints. He lays before him his troubles. And so there's the first lesson that we perhaps need to learn, maybe even before we go to our neighbour, our friend, that we lay it out before God. We all like to bring thanks to God, and that is correct and proper. We all like to say, God, how great you've been. You've healed this person, you've provided, you've met that need. But equally, God wants to hear our complaints. He wants to hear what's troubling us. He's our Father in heaven and he's concerned with what is happening to us. So the first thing we need to do is go and share our troubles with God. And when we move on to the next two verses, we'll see that even the great David, the man who slayed Goliath, who later on in the Bible will be referred to as a man after God's own heart, who God loved David so much. In the New Testament, we are told that when Jesus returns, he will rebuild David's tabernacle, which was a tent in a field, essentially. The great David, his spirit grows weary. Hands up if this week, this month, your spirit has grown weary. I know mine has. I know there are times when I get up in the morning and I feel weary in my spirit. I start to question, where are you, God? I can't do this, God. Right, we could bring up the next slide for us. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you, God, who watches over my way. David acknowledging that his spirit is weary, this great man whose spirit is weary, still knows that God is watching over him. And maybe we just need to remind ourselves of that. When we are feeling weary, when we are feeling unloved, when we are feeling underappreciated, when we are feeling we can't go to one more prayer event, when we're feeling I don't want to come to church on Sunday, I don't want to get involved in a boy band. I don't know why I said that. God is watching over us. He will be protecting us. David is aware that people are trying to capture him. They're trying to catch him in a snare. As much as this is about the physical thing, perhaps we could argue that this is also a spiritual battle for David. Is the devil trying to catch him in a snare? Is he trying to get him to give up on God? I think it's primarily about Saul. But I do think that the devil is trying to catch David in a snare, to get him to denounce God, to just do it in his own strength. We see again that there is no one at his right hand. There is no refuge for David. His friends have deserted him. We've all heard that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We've heard that saying. One thing I've noticed is when your life gets tough, your friends get gone. True friends stay. Best friends stay. But when you're in trouble, those friends that have just been on the edges, they disappear quicker than you can click your fingers. We all know the story of the prodigal son. He had gone off, taken his half of the inheritance, or his portion of the inheritance, and had gone and partied hard in foreign lands, had made lots of friends. But when the money ran out, the friends were gone. And he was left feeding the pigs, realizing that a servant, a slave in his father's farm, was fed better than he was. And David was just so concerned that no one was caring for him, that no one was there to support him. He had no place to hide. He'd run out of a place, a refuge. We have refuges for everything in this country, rightly so. You know, we have a refuge in Corby for domestic violence. We have some refuges for people that are homeless. But we as Christians, we have the ultimate refuge, and that is God. It's not a physical building. It's not a physical place. God is always with us. We don't have to go anywhere to find that refuge. In the next slide, we'll see that David is exalting God. He's expecting him to do something. Lord, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. We all face troubles in life that are too big for us. Do you know what the worst thing we can do is? Is actually think that we can deal with our troubles. We've all taken on things in moments of bravado, like being in a boy band, that are beyond what we can do. And when the wise thing would be to just go straight to God. We will all face something in our life. Something that just is a bit too much for us. We will all face those problems. We have to be aware of them. But we have to petition God and ask him to come and to help us. To be our refuge. To be the portion that we rely on. God isn't like those friends that disappear at the first sign of trouble. He's there all the time. We've all heard of that famous, I'm not sure if it's a poem or a verse, the footprints in the sand. It goes a little like this. There's a sandy beach and there are two sets of footprints. There's you walking along and there's God walking alongside you. This isn't in the Bible, by the way. And you're walking along and then all of a sudden there becomes one set of footprints. And our inclination is to go, God, why have you deserted me? Why have you left me in this time of need when I'm struggling? And you know, that's not what it is. You know what's happened there is God is carrying you. It's your footsteps that aren't on the sand. It is God's footsteps and he is carrying you. He will be your refuge. He will provide for your needs. We get to verses 7 and 8. We're reaching the kind of crescendo of David's prayer, of his psalm. If we could have those last two verses read, that would be fantastic. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Set me free from my prison. The cave wasn't a prison to David. He could leave the cave. He wouldn't go out of the cave and immediately bump into Saul. There are other stories about where they're in the same cave. But he could leave that cave. But he knew he was in prison. He knew he wasn't a free man to worship God as he would want to. He knew that at any moment he could be seized. And he was asking God to free him from his prison, not so that he could, you know, go on and become rich. It was so that he could praise God. You know, if you have an addiction, I don't know what, you know, it could be to drugs, it could be to alcohol. Yes, you want to be freed because of the damage that addiction is doing to you. But you want to be freed so you can praise God, surely. Because if we praise God, if we are a community here, if we are a gathering of the saints here, if we are a church in the sense of us being the church, and we are praising God, and we are giving thanks to God even in our times of trouble, then this neighborhood will flock here. They will come in, this building will not be, this hall will not be big enough, because People want to know why we can be so happy, why we can sing praise when we're in trouble. Because nothing that we go through here on earth, it's like a second in heaven. We all go through trouble. I don't want to belittle them. I don't want to make light of those troubles. But we have a bigger hope, a hope that we are going to spend eternity in heaven. And so whatever we are going through, we can give thanks and praise for that. We are set free. That has no hold over us. Death has no hold over us. We know where we are going. It's hard while we're here, but we know where we are going. We are going to heaven if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. David knew who God was. He knew the promises that he had for him. He was secure. He wanted his freedom from this situation to praise God, to gather people around him to praise God. So this week, I want us to apply this. Perhaps before we go to any of our friends and complain, perhaps we need to go straight to God. You know, there are agony aunts in the newspapers, and you know, people write into them, I don't quite know why. But we don't need an agony aunt. We have the Creator of the universe ready to answer our prayers, to help us, to love us, to guide us. It's not wrong to share how you're feeling with your friends. I'm not saying that at all. But perhaps first of all, we need to go to God and ask his help. Petition God to help us. We need to trust that God will deal with our complaints. Sometimes we're going through hard times for a reason. Perhaps sometimes out of the worst situations can come great things. We wouldn't want to go through those situations. But we have to trust God and know that we will come out of it and that it will be to the glory of God. And if you're like me, sometimes when your spirit feels weary, rather than go to God, you supplement it with food or with an addiction to alcohol or addiction to food or whatever. Let's try not to do that this week. I know that is so hard. That when you're feeling weary, when you're feeling low, that slice of cheesecake may be calling you. When you're feeling rejected, those images on the internet may be calling you. When you are thirsty for attention, and when you are thirsty for love, that drink may be calling you. Let's not supplement God for those things. Let's go to God. I know that's hard. And we may stumble. But let's go to God when we're in trouble first. When we're feeling weary. When we're feeling low. Because we can praise God. Yes, we complain. Yes, we lift up our concerns. We pour out our heart. But joy comes in the morning when we can praise God and say thank you. This message has been bubbling on my heart all week. My prayer is that what is from God you take home with you, and what isn't we just strike from our memories right now. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for your word. written thousands of years ago, but still relevant and still giving us instruction to this very day. Let us become a people who share our concerns with you, but then go to praise. That thank you, that rest in the hope that we know we have. That whatever troubles we are going through on earth are just a second in heaven. I thank you for the hope that we have. And we just want to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the worship band to come back up. We've got a few minutes, and I'm going to ask Steve maybe to play a couple of quieter songs, and perhaps if anybody from the prayer ministry team is available to do some prayer ministry, just over here on the left, we'll do some prayer. There'll be prayer ministry available. I'll go over there as well, and Steve will lead us in a couple of songs, and then in a few minutes I'll come and wrap up the formal part of the service, and then you'll be able to beat the kids to the biscuits. It's always good. But if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling troubled, then please do come and pray with us. And we can pray with you and ask God to guide you and bring you back to praise. Thanks, Steve.